You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll get the latest on Wisconsin National Guard troops deploying to help with hurricane recovery. First, President Trump's recent decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program has reignited a debate over how much immigration costs U.S. taxpayers. Critics say the cost is too high, but what benefits do they actually receive in Wisconsin? Alexandra Hall went to find out.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling the Capital Consortium.
Sean Tessman is standing near the edge of a sea of gray cubicles where her staff answer phone calls from people seeking public benefits.
Today is a relatively busy day. We expect to get about 2,000 phone calls.
Tessman is an administrator at the Dane County Job Center. She says when it comes to the benefits immigrants qualify for,
it can be complicated.
Tessman says welfare reform in 1996 limited the federal benefits that immigrants who are in the country legally can receive. Since then, each state has come up with its own rules. In Wisconsin, she says, it basically boils down to this.
Generally speaking, even legal immigrants, unless they have been here and have had that qualified status for a minimum of 5 years, they generally will not qualify as adults for these benefit programs, even though their children might.
That's how it works with programs like FoodShare, Wisconsin's version of food stamps. Lawful permanent residents who have had a green card for less than 5 years and people who are in the country illegally, they can't use FoodShare, but sometimes their kids can. There are other exceptions, like with Badger Care, Wisconsin's health coverage for low-income residents.
People, even without that 5-year waiting period, can still qualify for emergency medical care if something catastrophic happens. And pregnant women can also qualify for prenatal care.
The costs and benefits of immigration are at the forefront of the national debate. Last month, the Trump administration endorsed the RAISE Act, a proposal that aims to cut legal immigration by half over the next decade. Here's senior policy advisor Stephen Miller announcing the RAISE Act to reporters at the White House.
Every year we issue 1 million green cards to foreign nationals from all the countries of the world, but we do so without regard to whether that applicant has demonstrated the skill that can add to the U.S. economy, whether they can pay their own way or be reliant on welfare.
The National Academy of Sciences recently looked into this by comparing how much immigrants pay in taxes to how much they use in government services. Kim Rubin is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute who worked on that report.
In general, immigrants are good for the federal bottom line. For state and local governments, the story is a little more mixed, and that's largely because immigrants have more kids. And so as they grow up, those children will become workers and become part of the labor force. But in the short term, they are expensive largely because of the cost of education.
The Supreme Court ruled in 1982 that all students are entitled to a free public education regardless of immigration status. Rubin says it's true. Educating the children of immigrants costs taxpayers money in the short term. But looking at the bigger picture, she says, it's a worthy investment, especially when those kids grow up.
We also found in the report that the children of immigrants, so those second generation, are actually the people who are giving the most in terms of paying taxes versus using services over the long run.
So how much is all of this costing taxpayers? Well, it depends on the program and each individual's immigration status. Last year, emergency room visits and prenatal care provided through Badger Care, which immigrants can take advantage of, only accounted for less than 0.5% of all money spent on Medicaid in Wisconsin. Alexandra Hall, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, Hurricane Irma moved through Florida and into the southeastern United States over the last few days, leaving a trail of severe flooding, damage, and debris. As the area looks to recover, it'll have some help from the Badger State. Wisconsin National Guard troops have been pulled into active duty to help respond to Hurricane Irma. I want to invite you to call in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever been called in with National Guard or utility company or other effort to disaster relief around the country? Are you being deployed right now, or is someone in your family? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Meg Jones is with us, a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She covered the deployment of these National Guard troops. Meg, welcome back to Central Time. Well, I see the number's gone down. It was going to be 2,500. Now it looks like about 650 Wisconsin National Guard troops. Can you first of all talk about the units involved? What kind of groups would be sent down from Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, the initial call-up was for a little bit over 2,500 people, and that included the largest unit in the state of Wisconsin. That's the 32nd Red Arrow combat team, and that's more than 1,000 people, and they're from they're comprised from units from all over the state of Wisconsin. But there's artillery units and infantry units and transportation units that got called up. They had been put on notice for Hurricane Harvey, but as you know, Hurricane Harvey was a much smaller area. I mean, it was quite devastating for Houston and some of the other areas. But I think but then they ended up not getting called in for Harvey. So when I talked to a unit yesterday in Oconomowoc, they're pretty excited because they had kind of gotten, you know, prepared themselves for Hurricane Harvey and then got called, you know, and said to stand down. And then now they were going to get called down to Florida because, you know, as you know, Florida was it's a much more spread out area, and that's why they needed more troops down there.
Have we seen Wisconsin National Guard units deployed to hurricane relief areas before?
Yep, it's fairly common for National Guard from other states to get called in for major catastrophes like hurricanes. So, for example, during Hurricane Katrina in 2005, there were several hundred Wisconsin National Guard units that were sent down to New Orleans, to Mississippi, around that area, including, I know, a helicopter unit was sent down there as well, too. So it kind of what happens is that the governor of whatever state or states that are undergoing this catastrophe, they get on a conference call with their counterparts from other states, and they get, and this is usually it's even done before the hurricane hits or the storm hits, and they kind of go over like, well, how many people can you put in, and that's what was done for Wisconsin. So Governor Walker had been contacted last week already that if needed that could Wisconsin National Guard go down, and he said of course. So it's all kind of done ahead of time, and then a lot of time. Now I think what's happening today is that as they're getting in to assess the damage, now they're getting a better idea what needs help, where do people need to be still rescued or to be taken into, and probably their numbers are ratcheting down because they don't need quite as many people.
Are Wisconsin troops already on their way or already in place, some of them?
Yeah, so the first group, there was an advance party that went on Sunday, and then there was quite a number of folks that left yesterday as well. So I was in Oconomowoc with Charlie Battery of the 1st Battalion 120th Field Artillery, and it's a relatively new unit. They just formed 2 years ago, so the vast majority of the 100 or so people that are in the unit had never deployed anywhere before. So when I was speaking to the soldiers yesterday, they were pretty excited because they said, you know, this is why I joined the National Guard. I wanted to help. I wanted to serve. And, you know, you train and you want to be able to put the training into use. So they were all pretty excited and pumped. And fortunately for them, it's an artillery unit. So they've got these very large trucks that are normally hauling howitzer guns, very large weapons, which, of course, they left behind because they don't need that down in Florida. But these trucks sit up very high, and so they're kind of called high-water trucks, and they're perfect for driving through flooded areas for rescue or to bring people in or to bring supplies in.
Now, this is part of life, I guess, if you're in the National Guard. You might suddenly be called up and all plans are off. What kind of things did you hear from people who are getting ready to go about what it was like to shut down their lives, basically, in preparation to head down to Florida?
Well, there's kind of prep for this. I mean, when you join the National Guard, you know that you could be called up for any sort of calamity, or especially during the Iraq and the height of the Afghan wars. They were, you know, leaving for a lot longer time and heading over to war duty. But for this, I mean, obviously they didn't know in advance, you know, several weeks ago that these hurricanes would be coming through. And I know in this particular unit, the commander said some people had weddings that they had to put on hold. Some people had family members that were in hospitals. They had some people passing anniversaries. And, of course, being in the National Guard, you also have your civilian life, too. So National Guard means you've got drill weekend once a month where you go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But that's just one week in a month. And then a couple of weeks usually in the summertime for advanced training. So they all, most of them are have jobs or are students. So I talked to one UWM student who literally just started her classes, and she had to talk to her professors and say, "Well, I'm going." And she said all of them were very supportive, and she planned to try and keep up with her studies online. But she just didn't know how busy she was going to be, or you know how. And the other thing was is that they don't know how long that they're going to be down there for. I mean, it could be literally days, it could be weeks, it could be as much as a couple of months.
Meg Jones is a reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She stays with us to talk about the role Wisconsin National Guard troops are playing in hurricane recovery in Florida, some of them down there as we speak. And you can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Have you ever traveled to an area to help as it recovers from a disaster, whether with the National Guard yourself, if you're a utility line person? Have you done this kind of work? I know there are Wisconsinites down in, I think, still Texas and probably Florida now, too, doing work to help bring the power back online. If you've done this, share your experience. If you have a family member down there doing work right now, I'd love to hear from you about what they're doing down there. And if you've been in a natural disaster, what kind of support was needed to aid in recovery? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the deployment of Wisconsin National Guard troops to areas battered by Hurricane Irma. About 650 of them now, it looks like, will be sent down to help out in Florida. Meg Jones is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'll send an invitation out to you at 800-642-1234. If you've done this before, if you have been in the National Guard and done disaster relief, utility work in disaster-affected areas. On the off chance, if you're already down there doing work, you happen to be listening to us and you're on break, definitely call in right now, 800-642-1234. Or if you have a family member who is down there helping or on their way, just got called up for the National Guard, 800-642-1234 would be the number to call or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Meg, you have done work with National Guard units before, people getting ready to be deployed to Afghanistan. I think you went over at one point. Are we seeing some of the same people who might have been in Afghanistan doing training and other duties now being called up for this work in Florida?
Yes, that's quite possible. This year, the Wisconsin National Guard has had troops that were called up to South Korea, to Afghanistan, to Southwest Asia, and there are troops that are overseas right now. So the unit that I spent time with yesterday to write a story about, very few of them had deployed before. That's why I think they were pretty excited about it. But there are quite a number of people that are continuing to serve in the National Guard who have done multiple tours of duty in Afghanistan and probably also Iraq. Those will probably be the folks that have been in the longest, or maybe even the warrant officers or the officers. But yeah, it was interesting. I remember in 2005 when there was several hundred Wisconsin National Guard members that got sent down to Katrina, because at that time there was an infantry battalion that was going through training in Mississippi, and they had to take. So these are guys that are training to go over to Iraq, and they were caught in Hurricane Katrina, and they had to take cover in some barracks at a fort down there. But one guy did get injured when he went outside to smoke a cigarette, and he got hit by some flying debris. Wow. Because the reason I remember this is that a few months later, I was over in Iraq with those units, and they were talking about, like, yeah, you know, we didn't think we'd face, like, the biggest amount of danger before we even left
Wow.
American soil to come over to Iraq, so which I thought was kind of funny.
Let's take a caller now. Melissa is on the line in Baraboo. Melissa, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Melissa?
Well, it's funny. I was just listening to your guest, and I remember the incident she talked about really clearly with that soldier during Katrina who was injured because My husband right now is with the advanced unit down in Florida, but he was a part of that deployment as well. And whenever something like that happens, they activate the phone tree and call all family members to let us know that someone has been injured. And I remember when that phone tree activation went out, and we weren't expecting to hear at that point that anything had happened to a family member. And it was very, very stressful. And I'm sure for family members who are in Florida, it's the same situation where, you know, a lot of our husbands and family members and wives and brothers and sisters have deployed before. And when they've deployed overseas, you're really ready for them to be a part of active duty and the families are active. But something like this, you're unprepared. We don't have a phone tree set up. You know, it's sort of, for them and I think for families too, we're a little bit out of our element.
Melissa, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. Good luck to your husband and his comrades down there in Florida as they go down to do work in Florida. It's peacetime, Meg, but it is still a stressful situation for National Guard members and their families, isn't it?
I went to Iraq or Afghanistan, I usually contacted the family readiness coordinators from whatever units I'd be embedded with. So I got to know some of the family members, and then of course I was embedded over in Iraq and Afghanistan with the units. But the guys and gals that were over in Iraq and Afghanistan, they would always tell me, you know, I think this is much, you know, the deployment is much worse on our families because they don't know what we're doing. And, you know, they would call in or Skype, but they couldn't really go into a lot of details about, you know, the missions. And they said, you know, we over here in Iraq know exactly what we're doing. We know the danger. We know when we're going to be out, but our families don't. And what that lady was just saying was that, you know, you'd get a phone call and you would just kind of freeze up because you didn't know what was happening, if somebody was wounded or something like that. And to a lesser extent, but also stressful, these folks are going into, they don't know what they're going into down in Florida. I mean, there's some of the areas they haven't been able even to, you know, there's areas of the Keys where they haven't even been able to go into and find out exactly what's happening. So these folks, they're in their vehicles, they're heading down to Florida now as we speak, or they're there now, but they don't know where exactly they're going to be deployed. They don't know exactly what they'll be doing, whether it's search and rescue or whether it's humanitarian aid or, security. They just don't know. So I think partly that stress is just from not knowing.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Meg Jones is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She covered Wisconsin National Guard troops going to Florida, some already in Florida, dealing with hurricane relief. You can still join in at 800-642-1234. If you or a loved one have deployed for the National Guard for disaster relief, utility repair, if you have a loved one down there now doing this kind of work, 800-642-1234. Megan is with us now in Jefferson County. Megan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Megan?
Well, my youngest son is in the Wisconsin National Guard, and he is very, very excited to be leaving. They told him on Saturday during drill that he'd be going, and they haven't left yet, but he's pretty excited. He's the youngest of four boys, and his older brother was in the Air Force, and in fact, right before he went into the Air Force, he got involved in Katrina, the older boy, my older son. And after that, he went into the Air Force, and he ended up being killed in Afghanistan. So my youngest son is just, you know, all very determined to do anything he can to make a difference for people and pick up the slack where, you know, Dan only had a few years.
Megan, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. I'm sorry for your loss, and thanks to you and your family for this service. Meg, you've met a lot of National Guard members. This kind of thing often runs in the family, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely, especially National Guard, because, you know, you can, as opposed to the active military where you're assigned to a particular unit and you're with people from all across the country, National Guard units are from your armory is in a particular community. And a lot of times that unit and that armory have been there for not just decades, but probably even more than a century. And so it's
quite common to have, family members all serving in the same unit, having several generations serving in the same unit. And there's much more of a kind of a family-like atmosphere because, you know, you have your biological family, but you also have your military family. And they become just as close because you're working and training next to each other. And I'm guessing that for all the people that are going to be heading down or already are in Florida, it's going to be a great bonding experience for them going into, you know, this into the devastation, the hurricane, and but putting their training to use and making them feel like they're actually making a difference.
Megan, thanks and good luck to your younger son as he heads down to Florida to help out. And Meg, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. That's Meg Jones, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us to look at the work some Wisconsin National Guard troops will be doing to help Floridians recover from Hurricane Irma. If you have a story like this yourself, if you are deploying, if a loved one is deploying, still time to share your story on Twitter at Central Time WPR or over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, we'll get the details on a big Wisconsin Senate vote on the Foxconn deal and the new state budget. Things are moving quickly, it sounds like, this afternoon and evening. We'll get the latest that we know at that time. We'll look at the ethical concerns of technology companies courting teachers to use and promote their products in the classroom. And we'll hear about the new concessions on offer at Lambeau Field. Get ready for Elk Stroganoff and more. Plus, it's our weekly look at some of the biggest stories in national news. Paul Singer from USA Today is back with us, congressional reporter. He'll give us the latest on, the debt ceiling, the White House, a lot going on out there. All that and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.